Well, we're on week two in our Welcome Home series, and we have this week and next week, and then the following week, life groups begin. And my purpose behind the Welcome Home series is to really drive home the biblical reality and the biblical understanding that we are family as a church community. We are brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, mothers and fathers towards one another, and that's why we facilitate and try to make it as easy as possible for all of you to get plugged in and to share life with one another, because we believe that is God's model. Our tagline, it's really much more than a tagline, it's a mission, a discipleship process, is be loved, belong, be you. That simply means that we want you to be introduced to God's love. The first step in this life with Jesus is to receive his love. Amen? Contrary to popular belief, your first step is not to love God. Your first step is to be the recipient of God's love. That's why John said that we love because he first loved us. That's why Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You've got to be the recipient of God's love. And I found that it's very difficult for some of us, myself included, to be a recipient of God's love. Sometimes it's hard to be a sponge and to receive God's love. But ladies and gentlemen, it's in that marinating and being a recipient of God's love where God's love then flows through you. Amen? Where his love is fruitful in your life. If you're trying to fake it till you make it and love like Jesus without receiving his love, you're going to have a tough time with that. So we say be loved and then belong. It's great to be the recipient of God's love, but as you mature and grow in your faith, you learn that you don't want to be isolated, that God has called us to community. In fact, he's created us for community. You were wired to belong, and we've learned last week that God is community by his very nature, right? So before anything was created, including any angel or any person or any animal or anything else, God existed and he was alone. But he was not really alone, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that is who God is. Three persons, one God, and he is community. So you can imagine being created in the image of God, that you were created and wired with an innate, intrinsic need to belong. Just like a child needs water, your soul needs to belong. And that's why people will join gangs and hang out with disreputable people and do all kinds of crazy things, because they just want to belong. And God has created the most beautiful organization on the planet, which is the church, which is where you belong. And then we say be you, which is essentially live the life that God has called you to live. Allow the gifts of God to flow out of you. Live the new you that he's created you to be. You're no longer the old you. You're a new creation. Now live who he has made you, and you will find your life to be very rewarding when you're doing and living the life that he's called you to live. Amen? Be loved, belong, be you. And this series is all about the belong side of this. So we're going to read some scriptures out of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Let's read these scriptures and we'll pray and see what the Lord has to say. Verse 14, it says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Hopefully that doesn't come as a surprise to us, that there's actually more people that God cares about in the body of Christ. "If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." You're not catching on to the theme. It's like a university. There's a diversity of people, but we're unified as one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. Verse 25, that there should be no schisms in the body, but rather the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your infallible, holy word. Lord, I pray that every word spoken out of my mouth, I pray that you would customize it, allow it to land on good soil, take root, and produce a mighty harvest in each and every person under the sound of my voice and on the podcast listening online. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, and let everyone say a hearty amen. Amen. You were created to belong. And I've got good news for you. The search is over. Your search to belong is over. If I were to title my message, which I never do, I would title it, The Search is Over. Think back on your life and think about every stage and every new season of your life where you had a desire and a need and a demand in your life to belong. Think about the first day of school, walking into that classroom as a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 17-year-old. The kids just went back to school. And they go into those classrooms and perhaps they don't really know anybody. Maybe there's somebody new in school and they just want to be accepted and they just want to belong. Sometimes we're ostracized or we have families that are broken and we don't have the sense of family and community that God has designed us and wired us to be a part of. Therefore, there's something broken in our soul. Come on, somebody. I've experienced that as an adopted kid. I grew up in a foster home, was adopted, and it does something to your soul. You must know that you belong. And the search is over. You belong. You have found your home at church. Maybe you're visiting or maybe you're new here and you're trying to decide if this is your church. I'm not talking about Grace Road Church. However, if God has called you here, welcome home. We love you. We'd love for you to be a part of our community. But I'm talking about the body of Christ, which is exactly what Paul's writing about. The body of Christ is home for humanity. The search is over. The toiling and the stress and the hurts and the heartache of belonging, which is necessary in your life as water and breathing, the search is over. If you want to belong, if you want healthy relationships, if you want a life where you are living in a way that God has designed you to live, then you have found your home when you have found your local church community. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful what God has designed? Well, last week we learned a little bit, and I heard from a couple people it was a little challenging to consider this concept of who is your real family. Notice in the scriptures that Kyle read that as you have done this to one of my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me. Jesus says, who are my brothers and sisters? And he pointed at his disciples, those who do the will of my Father, those who have been born of God, those who have the Spirit of Christ in them, you are connected to them in a way that you can't even comprehend. Because you have more in common with a saved person filled with the Spirit than you do with an unsaved person who might be a biological relative. Jesus considers the church family to be our real family. Of course, we love our family and we care for our biological family and all of that. I'm not saying anything weird up here. Other than to challenge us to consider the person next to you as family. Not just as somebody who shows up to church, not just as that annoying lady or that annoying guy with, you know, coffee breath that you sat next to and who can't sing very well behind you. I want you to consider that if you have coffee breath, then join the club. They're not just some annoying person with an annoying kid and, you know, whatever sitting. They're actually your brothers and sisters or your mother and father in the Lord. This is what the Bible bends over backwards teaching God's people, brothers and sisters. And so I want to talk to you about belonging, and the search is over through these scriptures here. And Paul uses this beautiful analogy of a body, literally like a human body being as the body of Christ, where Christ is the head of the body, of course, and we all are a member of that body. Some of us are a hand. Some of us are eyes, some of us are mouth, some of us are foot, some of us are a part of the body that is not as visible, part of the body that we often forget about or that is clothed over. And we're going to talk about how you, in fact, fit in the body of Christ, and God has designed it that way. You truly belong in the body of Christ. So in the first verse here, in verse 14, it says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Listen, if you're looking for a church community, if you're looking for a church that everyone in that church looks exactly like you, then you're going to be searching for a long time. If you're looking for a church where everyone has the same background, the same economical status, the same social status, the same gifts and skill sets, and everyone thinks just like you, acts just like you, talks just like you, thinks just like you, has the same sways just as you, then you're going to be searching for a long time. In fact, I would raise a red flag or at least a yellow flag to any church where everyone is exactly the same. Come on, somebody. I'm pretty sure when we get to heaven, there'll be black people, white people, you know, Asian people, every kind of person under the sun. It'll be like a garden, a beautiful garden with all kinds of colors and types of people all planted and rejoicing and serving the Lord together. Can I get an amen? I am skeptical of churches where everyone looks exactly the same. And I'm privileged to have grown up in a church. When I say grown up, I mean from the point I got saved at about the age of 17, 18. For a while there, I was one of two white people in the church. Me and the pastor's wife. And then over the next 15 years, as I was groomed up in this church, the church was split down the middle. Black people, white people, all kinds of people. And there should be a love that we have on the inside of us where we want to be in a community of people where we're not all the same. I'm pretty sure God created us differently. God has wired us a little differently. We have different gifts, different administrations, different backgrounds, different perspectives. But yet it's all the same spirits working through each different person in the body of Christ. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the beauty of the body of Christ. Amen. Isn't that the most beautiful thing ever? You can relate and have a camaraderie and have a connection with somebody that you never would have known in the body of Christ, and you have something more in common with them that you might have with your own mother or father if they're not saved. Pretty cool, huh? You have found your home in the body of Christ. If you want to belong, you can belong. The only thing that can separate you from belonging to a local church and being accepted in a local church is if you're causing disruption and problems, and you're marginalizing the ministry, you're creating all kinds of schisms and issues, and you have to be dealt with in certain ways. And of course, that's none of us in this room, right? That's the only reason why you would be pushed out of a church is because, you know, you're causing a hindrance to the ministry. But any church worth its salt is more than accepting. At least as far as I'm concerned as the lead pastor here, everyone belongs. I don't care if you got tattoos. I don't care if you got piercings. I don't care what your life looked like. I don't care where you came from. I don't care if you're divorced. I don't care if you're a blended family. I don't care what hair color, how smart you are or not, what school background you have. If you want to know Jesus, you belong at Grace Road Church. In fact, I'll go even further as to say you belong here even before you believe. What does that mean? It means I will accept you and I will love you and I will serve you even if you're not sure if you've accepted Jesus yet. This is the home for humanity. If people go to the church and we're so self-righteous and we're so caught up in their political leaning or we're so caught up in their past or what they look like or whatever little stereotype we have on somebody, where else are they going to go if they can't go to church? Shame on us if we are judgmental to people that we know are broken when they come into the church. How about we love them before they even belong, believe, and we give Christ an opportunity to minister to them? Oh, you're not wearing the right clothes. Oh, you're still living with your boyfriend. Oh, you're still doing this and that. What? Who made you the Holy Spirit? Come on now. Let's uncover and open up your doors and let's look into your life and put a magnifying glass there and see what we can come up with, right? I'm simply saying, let's just all calm down and let's just start and lead with some grace and some love. How's that sound? I don't want to be a church that has the rap of being a judgmental church. Believers, we've messed up. We've been too judgmental. We've tried to be the behavior police. People don't need a behavior police. They need a savior. They need a transformation, a spiritual renewal in their heart. You're not going to be able to control people's behavior, but you can love on them. You can pray for them. You can accept them. And if they walk away and reject Jesus, at least they knew that there were some people that loved them. Ultimately, it's their decision, right? But we are an oasis for humanity. James even said, if you put the rich person up in the front of the church and you put the poor person in the back and you treat the rich person better and you treat the poor person bad, then that is sin, right? That's showing partiality. We don't show partiality. At least we're not supposed to. So that's what we're saying, is that the search is over. You belong at church. This is where you have family. This is where you are interconnected. So he says, look, there are a lot of diversities. There's many members, and we're going to celebrate that fact. We need your skill set. We need your intellect. We need you the way God created you. You were wonderfully and perfectly and masterfully created for his workmanship. We need you in the church. We want you in the church. There is something for you to do in the body of Christ. Amen? So there's one body, the many members of that body. In the next verse, it says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, am I not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, God is trying to inform you that if you feel like somehow you don't have anything to offer, or somehow you don't really have the worship singing voice that you think you should have, or maybe you're not a Bible teacher, or you're not the front of the house person, that somehow because of your different part of the body that you don't belong to the body, God wants you to know you belong to the body. It doesn't matter what your skill set is, what your background is, you belong to the body. Nobody can say, I don't belong. There's nothing for me to do here. There's nothing I have to offer. I'm no good. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the skills. I don't have the background. I don't have the resources. I have nothing to offer. No. You belong to the church. You can't say that I don't belong. You absolutely are not only belong, but you are a necessity in the body of Christ. This is what Paul says in the next verse. The next verse, if the whole body were the same, if everyone was an eye, where would be the hearing? Do you see where he's going with this? Not only should you not say that I don't belong, you have to understand that you not only belong, but you are absolutely a necessity in the local church. You are needed in the local church. Whatever God has created and whatever treasures and gifts he's put in you, this church needs you. God's church needs you. You were created for a reason, and you have something special and unique to offer. Where would the smelling be if everyone was an eye? It's more than just belonging. You are needed in the body of Christ. Come on now. I marvel over, you know, as God brings people in this church, and everyone has different skills. Some people like doing, you know, technical things. Other people are prayers. Other people are compassionate gifts of helps, teachers. I mean, the whole thing. God has created all these special gifts, all these different kinds of people with different perspectives and backgrounds. He's put his spirit in them so that we're unified, and he's allowed them to be operational in the local church. Come on now. If you weren't in the church, then how are you going to reach the people to the church that only you could reach? If everyone was me, we could only reach the people that I can reach. But because you are you, and you are uniquely you, you are needed in the body of Christ. Well, you don't understand. I have a really messed up background. I got all kinds of problems. Yeah, and God turns your problems into a ministry. So you can help other people going through the same things that you've gone through, right? I cheated on my wife way back yonder. I'm no good anymore. Yeah, you know what? You can help people. You can help people now. You can help people make the right decisions. You can minister to them. You can tell people about God's grace and how he restored your life, even after you made a blunder out of your life. Everyone has something to offer in the body of Christ. Amen. You don't just belong, you're absolutely essential. In verse 18, I love how God kind of teased this up. It says, now God has set the members, each one of us, each one of them. That statement, each one of them, you are in that statement somewhere. Each one of them, not just the ones that are good looking, not just the ones that are wealthy, not the ones that appear to be so talented or so gifted, not the ones that are just, you know, have something that is visible, but every single person that God has put his spirit in, he has put them in the church. Amen? Not as we pleased, not as I please, not as you please, but as he has pleased. He's the one, he's the orchestrator, he's the mastermind behind adding the right people to a local body to be a gift and a necessity to that local body. Amen? And it's very liberating to know that he has done that and not a person or not you. That's why it's important to know where God has called you to be, what church he's called you to be. You might be a very missional-minded person, and God wants to put you in a startup church like us. Where you are called to be is important because God is orchestrating all of this. It's funny, when you're a pastor like me and you try to put a round peg in a square hole, in other words, you're trying to put somebody in a role or put somebody in a position that it wasn't really God, it never, ever works. It just never works. And so you finally just, you kind of step back and you just see what God's doing. Where is he placing people? Who is he bringing in? Who is God showing and revealing to the church to plug in here or plug in there or step in there? And it's all God. And we tried to launch our youth ministry a year and a half ago. It didn't work at all because we had the wrong person. Now we've got the right person. Amen? He does it in his timing as he pleases. I put out a Facebook Live about a week ago, and I was talking about grow where you're planted. The only way you can grow is to grow where you're planted. If you're in a local community, but your mind is somewhere else, or your heart is somewhere else, you can't really flourish in that community. You have to have this sense of belonging. These are my people. This is my church. I want to get planted. And as you're planted there, that's when you flourish. But if you're 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and you're not going to really blossom and grow the way that God could produce that growth in your life, right? So where he has planted you, be planted. Because it's as he has pleased and as he has orchestrated. Now, what this does is two things. Is it eliminates pride and it eliminates potential shame. It eliminates pride and it eliminates potential shame to know that it's God who places the people where they belong, right? Like he set up the chessboard. Now, in the next verse, in verse 21, I want to share this with you. In verse 21... And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Why can the hand or foot not say that? They can't say that because God has established the people where he wants them. And it's very humbling to know that you can't do everything, right? You need other people. You need people to plug in. You need people with different skill sets than you have. And so it's very humbling, and it's designed to squash out pride. Sometimes pride pops its head up in churches, right? It's designed to squash all pride, knowing that God has placed people in position. If you're wondering, maybe you're a person and you're like, man, I should be up preaching by now. There is no human being on the planet that can prevent you from walking through doors that God wants to open for you. If God opens a door for you, no man can shut it. And no man can shut a door that God opens for you. You guys follow what I'm saying? Don't blame where you are in your ministry or where you are in your service on a person. Come on now. God closes doors, God shuts doors, God creates opportunities, God is the one who's setting everyone in place, and for me as a young, I had a lot of zeal as a young minister growing up, and I thought I should be doing more and preaching more. I'm preaching to my old former self. Years ago, I wanted to be doing more, but God had everything in his timing. There was character development, there was all kinds of things that he had to do in my heart. But if you get planted and you get rooted in a local body, this is how God can operate and begin to work in your life. Amen? There's no pride when you know that you can't do everything and God has placed people in position to do things that you're not called to do. You know, it's my job as a lead pastor to help you identify your gifts and to help you be empowered to flourish in your gifts. That's why we call our leadership training Flourish. We want you to flourish. We want you to be put in the right place. We want to do our best to partner with you to see how you can have the satisfaction of knowing that you're serving God in the way that he's called you to serve. It's a beautiful thing. So no one can say, I have no need of you. But it also eliminates potential shame. Next verse. In verse 23, I believe it is. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, On these we bestow greater honor. It's almost been 2 years. I went and applied for life insurance, and I got some numbers back that I wasn't too happy with. I had to turn my life around in many ways and get healthy and eat right and change my diet and exercise more. I had to do some things. And one of the numbers is I had what they called a fatty liver. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My liver numbers were high. I didn't know what that meant other than I had to start eating more broccoli and, you know, cutting down on carbs and everything else. And I've since totally reverse those numbers, and my liver numbers are completely normal. But I can tell you, I wasn't thinking too much about my liver up until that point. It's not like I woke up in the morning, you know, shaving my head. I used to fix my hair brush my teeth, making sure we look good. You know, eyebrows are good. You know, you ladies, you're putting on the makeup and all this stuff. But until there's a problem with an organ, you don't really think too much about it, do you? You're more concerned about the presentable parts until you realize how much you need your liver. All of a sudden, you are taking good care of your liver. Amen? Some of us are parts of the body like a heart, and that heart is pumping blood throughout the whole body of Christ. Or that liver is screening toxins throughout the whole body of Christ. Or whatever this unpresentable or hidden part of the body, whatever its function is, many of us are in the body of Christ and no one sees what we're doing. We don't get a whole lot of accolades, but the body of Christ needs these people. So we give them greater honor, and God knows how to give his people honor. Amen. There's no part of the body that we say we have no need of, or that can say, this body has no need of me. What would we do without our prayer warriors? People behind the scenes praying day in and day out, praying and praying and praying. What would we do without our helpers? People that are here working throughout the church when there's no one else around, taking care of stuff in the parking lot, handling things, visiting sick people, facilitating things, doing administrative things. All these different skills and ministries are needed, and you belong in the body of Christ. No schisms. In verse 24 and 25, it says, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. I'm telling you right now, I care more about my liver than my face. Because my face, if I get a pimple, right, it's not going to kill me. But my liver matters to me. My heart, some of you young people, you don't even know yet. But when you start getting just a little bit older, you start to take more consideration for the unpresentable parts, right? God gives greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body. No schisms. No pride. No shame. Listen. There is no better place to be and no more fulfilling place to be than to be utilized by the Lord, not by a pastor, not by a man, not by the church, but utilized by the Lord in the manner that you were called to be used. You can't have a more rewarding life than to live out the very purpose for which you were called on this planet. And there's a general, of course, you know, we love people and we love God and God loves us and all of that. But there is a specific assignment for all of us. Some of us are wealth builders. We're business people. Some of us are ministers, fivefold ministry. But all of us, if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, God has orchestrated a body to build and expand and to perform and achieve the mission that Christ has established in his church on this planet. You are not exempt from being part of God's mission on this planet. Can I say that again? If you are born of God, you are tied in. You are interconnected to this mission. You are a missional person. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I too have sent my brothers and sisters. Jesus has sent you. That's why you're still sucking wind on this planet. Paul was talking about this at Strong. We had our Strong meeting on Saturday, yesterday. Why are you still on this planet? Paul said, man, there's a big part of me that wants to depart and be with the Lord because that's far better for me. But then he said, if I stay here, I can bear more fruit in my life, which is more profitable for all of you. You see, Paul saw his purpose and his giftings and his placement in the body of Christ as beneficial for other people. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the beginning of living the life God has called you to live. That you are living not for yourself, but you're living for others. Another story about that health scare that I had. I had to turn some things around in my health. And I found myself, I had to start exercising. I had to change. I had to be really strict. And I really was working at it. And I had to change some numbers and stuff in my blood. And I was working hard at it. I was very motivated. And one time I went for a run. It must have been 9:30, 10 o'clock at night during the winter. And I was running. It was cold, freezing outside. I'm like, what's motivating me to grab a flashlight and run right now? Because I didn't get the chance to do it earlier in the day. And I realized, I'm not doing this because I want to live for me. I'm doing this because I want my kids to have a dad for a long time. It's the first time I realized what's driving me is not me. It's other people. And I realized just how selfish I had been for so many years, like all of us, right? And God does something in us, and he does something in us, and he works in our hearts, and he brings us to a place where what motivates us to live, like the Apostle Paul, is not us. We want to live, and we want to keep working, and we want to bear fruit for everyone else. Because you recognize, and you know the value that God has placed on your life, that you have been put here for a reason, and there are people who need what God has placed on the inside of you. Amen? You're looking for a home? Welcome home. You're looking for something to do, or you're looking to have some sort of value? It's in the local church. Your ministry springs out of the local church. Amen? Then he says there's no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. In the next verse, in verse 25, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You guys, let's pick up on what the Spirit is doing here. This is an interconnected life. When somebody in your local church is hurting, we are hurting too. When so-and-so gets a bad doctor's report, when so-and-so can't make ends meet, when so-and-so has a marital issue or something going on with their children, we all share in that concern. And if somebody's honored, if somebody's blessed, somebody has a baby, somebody gets married, somebody buys a new home, gets a promotion, we're all rejoicing together with that person. This is the interconnected life that is the body of Christ, which I believe is the biblical model for what we were created for and the home for humanity that we are called to belong to. Don't isolate yourself to just your own family. Your bylaw, that's not, God has you connected in a local church. Consider the people next to you, okay? Not as just that cute lady or that handsome man or the person with coffee breath. consider them your own brothers and sisters. Let me challenge you to expand your family beyond just your biological relatives. It may just be that person in church that helps you and ministers to you in a way that no biological family member ever could, or vice versa. Paul tells Timothy, who was a young pastor, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, this is my closing verses here. We can have the worship come on up. I'm getting you out early today. Never speak harshly to an older man. This is Paul admonishing and training young Timothy, who was a pastor of a very large church, a mega church. Never speak harshly to an older man. The Bible talks about respect the gray. Amen? You respect and honor the years that somebody has lived. So he's telling the lead pastor, never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully, as you would to your own father. Talk to your younger men as you would to your own brother. So he's saying you give double honor, you give greater respect to the older people in the same way that you would respect your father. And to the younger men, you deal with them and you love them like you would your own brother. And then he starts talking about the women. Treat older women as you would your mother. Not as an annoyance. If there's somebody who becomes a widow in the church, we need to take care of that situation. If there's somebody in our church who's hurting, who's lonely, who's broken, who's going through a divorce or going through something, it's us who are to look at that person as if we're relating to our own mother, our own brother, our own sisters. We treat the younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. I hope that I'm doing justice to get this through. Expand your family. And one way that we've made an avenue, which is just what most every church out there does. They do small groups. We didn't come up with this. You know, there's a reason why alcoholics get together in AA meetings. Because they need community. And it's that connection, that interconnectivity, where there are people that I can say anything I need to say. I can share anything I need to share. And they're going to share. We're going to not judge each other. And we're just going to love each other. And we're going to call each other. We're going to support each other. There is something supernatural that happens in community. And there's healing in those groups. Well, God has set that model up a long, long time ago. That's why Jesus called the 12. He had a small group of 12. Our small groups, we say, if you've got two or more, Jesus is there in your midst. All the way up to about 12. 12 is a good place to stop. Hopefully it doesn't end up like 11 with a Judas in your group or something. You have to be intentional if you want to be a part of this way, this model that God has created. Because I believe that this is where the good stuff happens. We talked about last week, you can go visit the message online. We talked about how we consider one another, that we might stir up compassion for one another. When you meet in these life groups and these small groups and you open up your home and you make that commitment and you set aside 90 minutes of your life every week and you just take that step of just coming together and connecting, you're like taking a big pot of soup and you're stirring up all the good stuff on the bottom and it's coming up to the top, and then now you're participating in a great meal. And it's called sharing life together, doing life together, growing with one another, building lifelong Christ-centered relationships. Your best friends, I want them to be people in church. How much fun would church be if your best friends are in your life group? You'll want to go to life group, right? It might take a little work to get there. It might take a little uncomfortable, you know, a couple uncomfortable meetings, but it's worth it. God knows. He knows how he's created us. He's wired us for community, and the search is over. After service, we're going to have our, as I mentioned, our life group meeting. For those of you who are considering being a leader, if you just want to learn more about them, please come. And we'll have next week, I promise you next week, we'll have signups. There'll be a way online to see who the life group leaders are. And we're excited to kick off the school year, kick off the season, kick off fall with a life group session. Amen? Let's pray together, and then we'll worship a verse together, and then we'll close it out. Father, I thank you for your biblical model of sharing and doing life together. I thank you that every single person who belongs to you has a home, that you have created the church as home for humanity, Father, and that there is a place and there is a purpose and there is a mission and there is an assignment and there is a need for each and every person in the body of Christ. So God, I pray that you would release your people. I pray that you would bless your people to walk out the things that you've put in their lives, that they'd know where they're planted and they would prosper and flourish exactly where you have planted them. And we thank you for these things, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And let everyone say, amen. Let's